Testing, testing. You on the record?
Yes.
Okay. It's approximately 1:12 p.m. on October the 3rd, 2011. I'm Anthony Camacho. I'm serving as a hearing officer on behalf of the Office of Public Accountability. We are here for the case of in the appeal of Peter Alexis Atta. Appeal number OPA-PA-11-016. We're here for the pre-hearing conference in this matter. Will the members of the Office of Public Accountability who are present for this hearing please identify themselves for the record?
Doris Flores Fix, Public Auditor.
Lourdes Perez, Audit Supervisor.
Ann Camacho, Administrator.
Will the appellant, who is appearing pro se, which Mr. Atta simply means you are representing yourself, please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives or other persons with him today.
Mr. Camacho, would you be kind enough to speak? I have a hearing problem, if you don't mind.
Okay, very well. This is a phase of the hearing where all we're doing is identifying who is here for the record. And so I asked you to identify yourself for the record and any person or institutional representative with you this afternoon.
My name is Peter Alexis Atta. I am the president of the corporation that was supposed to have gotten started. And my wife is with me, who is the chairperson of the corporation.
Okay, could you please state the name of your wife for the record?
My wife's name is May Atta.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Atta. And just for the record, you are representing yourself in this matter?
That is correct.
Thank you. Will the purchase counsel for the purchasing agency please identify himself for the record and any institutional representatives that are with him this afternoon?
Robert Cono, GSA, no other representative.
Thank you, Mr. Cono. And I do note for the record that Mr. Tom Fisher made an entry of appearance on behalf of Guam Medical Referral Service. However, Mr. Fisher is not here this afternoon. So the first order of business pursuant to the September 13th pre-hearing, notice of pre-hearing conference and motion filing schedule are the hearings on the motion in this matter. And the first motion I'm going to address is appellant's motion concerning noncompliance. Mr. Atta, you have the floor.
That is correct.
Did you want to argue your motion? Normally we have a, this is your opportunity to make any oral arguments concerning your motion.
Mr. Camacho, again, please pardon me, but I can hardly hear what you were saying.
Can you speak, you're not speaking close enough into the microphone.
How about now?
Let's try that again.
How about now, Mr.
Now, yes.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. This is a part of the proceeding where you're going to make your argument on your motion.
Okay.
If you choose to make an oral argument, you will be followed by Mr. Cono, who can state anything in opposition. I will give you after that a brief opportunity to reply. Did you hear that?
Most definitely, yes.
Okay. You have the floor, Mr. Adam.
Thank you very much. When I submitted my bid for the call for the Guam Medical Referral Office contract, I was present during the pre-hearing, which was required that all persons who are just going to submit will be required to be there. Anyone not being there would not be qualified to submit a bid. We looked over the documentation, and being this is the first time that I have submitted responding to a bid, I kind of looked it over thoroughly and asked a few questions. And then we proceeded on to submit the bid. And then on the 20th of July, I got an email informing me that my technical bid was unacceptable. Well, I kind of somewhat was disappointed, but I've accepted that for whatever the reason may be. On the 22nd, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, on the 22nd, early in the morning, I sent an email to GSA inquiring when I can pick up my bid bond. That was the plan, with the bid bond, because I wanted to clear my name with the insurance. I got a call on the 26th, which was a Tuesday, informing me that my bid bond is ready for a pickup. I said, okay. During that same conversation, I asked the lady, I said, in the event that I do pick up my bid bond and I should decide to protest, would I be disqualified? The response was no. I said, okay. I kind of procrastinated from the 22nd until August the 2nd, 12 days later. I decided to go down and pick up my bid bond. I arrived there about 11:45. The lady came out at about 11:49 maybe. And I said, I'm here to pick up my bid bond. She said, okay. Was the person that contacted you? I said, you know, I don't recall the name. Can you just give me a few names? The first name she came up with, I said, yes, that's the one. She said, I'll be right with you. Let me go call her. She came out, she had the bid bond with her. I said, okay. She had a piece of paper there for me to sign. I don't know what told me to inquire. Hey, by the way, since my technical bid was already not was deemed unacceptable, what about my bid price? She said, oh, your bid price. Did you ask the chief? I didn't say anything. She said, let me go check. She came out about 3 to 5 minutes later, and in the envelope in her hand, it was a beige envelope, large size. I already noticed it was open. I said, oh, why is that envelope open? She said, oh, Mr. Adam, I can explain. I was looking for your bid bond, and when I didn't find it, I opened your envelope, this envelope. Said, as big as the bid bond, and you did not find it?
Excuse me, Mr. Adam, this isn't the formal hearing. Okay, I'm reading your motion. Okay, what are you trying to achieve with your motion procedurally? What I'm trying to explain is you will have the opportunity to give your full testimony, okay? That's not this proceeding.
Okay.
Okay? And I note that you did some, or you did have a motion concerning inconsistencies in policy. What specifically are you alleging was inconsistent? What specific policy?
This is a time, just so you understand the procedure, I know you're not an attorney, but this is just for you to summarize your motion and argue the important points.
Okay.
Not give your entire testimony.
Okay.
Okay, you'll have that opportunity should you choose to.
Thank you very much. On page 7 of the instructional sheet of the BIP, section B and D, it says very specifically that no person or persons or any part of this contract shall be assigned or subcontracted to any other person or parties without the written prior approval of the office. I believe, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, that is not the case. Now, on page 5, part D, it says, and if I may read, unless you'll understand, I'm following the procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Page 5, part D, under discussion of unpriced technical offer reads, once discussions are begun, any bidder who has not been notified that its offer has been finally found unacceptable may submit supplemental information in amending its technical offer at any time until the closing date of the establishment, the closing date established by the procurement officer. My argument here, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, is that the language of this is so vague, extremely vague. You have an unpriced, and yet discussions have already begun. You're already informed you didn't make it. How does two people make a competition, a competitive? It didn't make sense. And all I'm asking Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks is for GSA to follow their own instructions. They mentioned that they contacted on July 9th or June 9th, one or the other. It's 1 month span. I think it was June 9th. They contacted the Attorney General's office inquiring information regarding this contract prior to even its call. Wouldn't it make sense that correct all measures that may be relative to this contract before you call the contract openly or publicly? This matter should have all been resolved. It's a very embarrassing thing to hear the Attorney General say that he was not involved. For him to say, for a comment to be made, it was for formality. I knew what that meant. It's how it was said that did not make sense. So all I'm asking here, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, is for GSA to go over all their fine details with a fine comb, making you don't give any room for suspicion. The suspicion I got that there's something wrong is when I got that phone call from a reporter. It's when it clicked my mind. That reporter seemed to have been as though was right in that room, because that reporter seemed to have known everything that had happened. So the consistency of the Attorney General's, of GSA needed, they need to tighten up and don't give any room for suspicion.
Mr. Adam, I have to interrupt you. Just for the record, Attorney Tom Fisher is now present on behalf of Long Medical Referral Services.
Yes, sir. Do I have to formally request to make an appearance?
No, I think you already filed your appearance.
So it's official?
No, I'm just making it known for the record that you came in at this time. It's approximately 1:24. Please proceed, Mr. Adam.
Okay. And then, you know what compounded more was when I got this phone call on August the 30th and asking me to submit a quotation for a one-month quotation. I said, what for? And they said, because the process has been appealed and we need to look for someone to run the operation for 30 days. Or until the appeal has been resolved. I said, come on, man. We're making the patient suffer. Just let whoever got it, let him continue on with this process. The protest or the appeal is more on the opening of my bid bond and the inconsistencies of GSA. Those were the issues, and I also told them, I said, why would anybody want a quotation from someone whose technical bid was unacceptable? That don't make sense. I'm very grateful I didn't get a call this past couple of days. I was thinking, I said, oh my God, don't tell me they're going to call again. But I'm glad that they didn't. And that was the reason, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, that I wanted to pursue this, because I wanted to make sure that no future bidders will have to be facing the same thing again. I want to make sure. I want to help them. I am no longer arguing to the selection of Mr. Fisher. By the way, Mr. Fisher, congratulations. That's not the issue. The issue here is the opening of my bid bond, my bid price, and the inconsistency of GSA's policies that they put out for the call for the bid. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adam. Just so you understand, Mr. Fisher, I'm simply raising my voice in an effort so that Mr. Adam can hear me, as he has a hearing difficulty. Not that my emotion is raised or anything else, but we've tried with the microphone and it doesn't seem to work. So I'm making this accommodation solely for Mr. Adda's benefit here so that he can participate in the hearing. Mr. Kono, on Mr. Adda's motion for inconsistency.
Thank you. I would like to just point out two small quick facts. Number one, these issues were not raised in his appeal to the on his protest letter. These came afterwards. And under the rules, the only things that the OPA should be hearing is on the decision of GSA to the protest. But I do want to address quickly his two points, or three points. One, regarding the subletting of the contract, that has not been done. There is no subletting, as he seems to imply. The contract was given to Mr. Fisher's company, and it hasn't been given to anyone else. There's no subletting. And in regards to Part D of the unpriced technical that he complains about, the unpriced technical is when we are unsure of but as he points it out himself, he has already received notification that his bid was rejected. If it was not rejected and we wanted further information, we could have asked for further information if that was a recall of evaluators. That did not happen because they rejected. They were comfortable with what was submitted. We did not need further information. And in regards to asking for a quotation from Mr. Atta's company, the rules require that on an emergency 30 days, one of the companies that we must make a request for or from is the one who has provided the same or similar services in the past 12 months. The company he represents provided that service in the previous 12 months. Therefore, we had to ask for a quotation. I don't believe I should add any more to my motion. My motion, I think, is...
We're not arguing your motion, Mr. Cutter. This is simply your opportunity to state any opposition to Mr. Atta's motion.
Yeah, I oppose his motion for the reasons I stated.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cutter. Mr. Fisher, any comment or opposition on Mr. Atta's motion or inconsistency?
excuse me. Yes, thank you very much. And Mr. Atta, if you have any difficulty hearing me, would you please ask me to speak up? Can you hear me all right, sir?
I'll try.
Okay, so if you cannot hear me, I will.
Sir.
Okay. As I understand it, then, we are just being heard in opposition to Mr. Atta's motion and not on the substance of the motions, for example, that I may have raised.
Your motion is number 3 in the queue,
okay.
Mr. Fisher.
All right, thank you. Well, then I too will be brief, and I will join the agency's opposition to the motion. Much of my opposition to the motion, I think, has been raised, well, in my submittal, and I've kind of reiterated the opposition in my motion. We have to assume regularity by the agency. If having assumed regularity in the agency's actions, the burden shifts to the protester. And we don't believe Mr. Atta has adequately demonstrated any irregularity by GSA. For that reason, that's our opposition to the motion.
Mr. Atta, you have a brief response to their oppositions.
One caught my attention, and this was Mr. Kono's remark about the about no subcontract assign and subcontracting. That statement, because the contract right now is on procurement, but one would wonder, Mr. Kono, Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, why someone else is running the office. And a patient had come and was told, no, it is not Fisher. It is under our name. Our company. That company was never identified by name. I know who the individual is. On the issue of unpriced technical offer, it says may submit supplemental information amending its technical offer any time until the closing date established by the procurement officer. The closing date, if I can recall, is July 13th. Was it? July 13th was the date when we had to put in our bid. Then what date are they talking about? What closing date are they talking about? Because no one should have been opening all those envelopes. prior to, like, until after the 13th. I was made to understand, and it's, well, that's not even the issue. But then what closing date are they talking about? Is it the 13th or the date when they close the selection? That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Raddick. Mr. Atta, just one question.
Yes.
Did you submit your price with your price technical offer?
Did I submit my
price proposal with your your technical offer?
No, it must be in a separate. It must be in a separate envelope. No. It has to be in a separate envelope.
But was it submitted at the time you submitted your proposal?
Yes, I did.
Was that required by the bid?
Yes, it must be, but in a separate envelope.
Was that open during the first step?
No, it was not. If you look at the memo to file that was, or incident report written by Ms. Marissa Leon Guerrero, she will indicate it was opened after the request, or the notice of rejection of his bid.
So it was open, though?
The packet was open, yes.
Why was it open?
It was open by accident because, according to Ms. Marissa Leon Guerrero, the packet, she was trying to return his bid guarantee. He had asked for the return of his bid guarantee.
May I respond? Am I in order?
Go ahead.
Okay. That's very interesting. And as I had mentioned a little bit earlier, I asked for this on the 22nd. 12 days later is when I came back. Why didn't anybody from GSA contact me to let me know that by accident, Mr. Adek, I accidentally opened your bid price? It was not until I asked for it. And when I asked for it, it kind of, Uh-oh. We were hoping he would not ask for it. I'm saying this to myself. That I'm hoping that he would not ask for it because then he will find out. That's just an assumption of what had happened. 12 days later, they had from the 22nd, and she received an email from Ms. Faji at 6:47 in the evening. When she opened it on the 22nd, I have no idea. But that's what her incident report said. Then why didn't anybody from GSA clue her and say, hey, get in contact with Mr. Adam and rectify this situation that you opened by accident? Nobody did until I came down to ask for it. And when I did ask for it, I sounded shocked that I would inquire.
Thank you, Mr. Adda. I'm going to take your motion for inconsistencies under advisement and issue a decision in writing at a later date, okay? That merely means that we're going to consider your arguments today, your written motion, any oppositions made to it, and also in the record in the matter, decide your motion in writing, okay? All right. Mr. Kona, you have a motion to exclude the appellant's comments?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, you have the floor.
I believe my motion is simply stated enough that, number one, the issues raised by Mr. Adda, the appellant, is outside the scope of the Office of Public Accountability, in that the Office of Public Accountability must look to the protest decision made by the Chief Procurement Officer, and that is the basis of the appeal, as pointed out in several of your previous OPA cases, which I cited. The appellant raises numerous issues in the appeal that were never raised below, which never gave GSA the opportunity to respond to it. We believe that is inappropriate and believe that those portions should be excluded from consideration. Secondly, he complains of the failure of one of our staff members from informing him immediately of the problem. We point out that we did, once we found out about it, we did provide for an immediate notice to file of what occurred. There is no showing of bad faith or illegal activities. Even he admits that there's no showing, it's just his gut feeling. You have to show that we have done something wrong, that there was some intent, and none has been shown other than an error made by a clerical staff member. The fact that she did not wish to tell him right away may really go to just her personality of not wanting to take responsibility for something she did. But be that as it may, I believe my motion is appropriate in that it is outside the scope of the OPA to review. And that's all I have to say.
Mr. Adda, any opposition to Mr. Corner's motion?
Quite strange that I will receive the letter on the 5th, dated the 4th of August, confirming that the envelope was open, but your protest is without merit. I said to myself, oh my God, is this a standard letter? I wanted an explanation as to, and you know, with all the things that were happening, that prompted me to go back more to the informational sheet, and that's where these things are starting to pop up. So, I do respect Mr. Kono's motion to, he's probably saying it's out of the scope of OPA, but that's what we're here for, is to clarify these things, to help them at GSA for future bidders, which, they wrote me a letter confirming that the bid bond was, like the bid price was open. Mind you, the bid bond is 8 pages long. If they were looking for it in the big envelope, maybe. But they were looking for it at a small envelope, which only contained 2 pages of paper. Why was it opened? Again, Mr. Kono says, maybe the personality. Then we go back again. Management. Do you know what's going on? Because people are watching. That's the responsibility of the agency. Whoever is the head of the agency, you're going to have to bite the bullet and accept it. It was done. Make the contact. You made it even worse by remaining silent. Thank you.
Mr. Fisher, I understand you've joined in Mr. Kono's motion to exclude any comments on Mr. Kono's motion.
Just as the hearing officers observed, I've joined in it, and I also joined in Mr. Kono's comments.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Kono, anything in reply or rebuttal?
Once again, an error was made, and we recognized it and acknowledged it. It was an error. It was a good faith problem. There was no intent. As pointed out, it was open. The bid bond, or the bid guarantee that he was looking for, was opened after he asked, after notice was given to him that his bid was rejected. It was minor error, for lack of a better word, because it did not affect the decision of the evaluators as to who should get the award. We never knew what his price was. And the chief procurement officer still does not know the price because she never saw the stuff. It was a de minimis error, is what I'm looking for.
Thank you, Mr. Kono. Okay, the last motion that was filed was Mr. Fisher's motion to dismiss. On your motion, Mr. Fisher?
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon again. Good afternoon again, Mr. Adam. We have moved to dismiss. It's fairly clear from the motions we filed, but in analyzing what it is that we believe to be before the public auditor, the Office of Public Accountability, it's a little bit difficult to hew away what is protested and what is not. Of course, again, as I said before, you will assume regularity in the process, and there has been, an impeachment of the process. This was multi-step. It was a multi-step bid. It required very close reading, I think, to successfully navigate your way through this particular process. It was, it required a very close attention. If in the body of the process, you suspected that something was amiss based on what was published and given to all the potential offerers. As we said in our paper, the time to protest that had passed. I think that this IFB issued on June 17th. So insofar as, for example, it was constructed as multi-step and you had to come up with a bid security and it had to be in 10 or 15%, I forget the exact details, you know, the time for that had passed. So the reason I bring that up is because it forced me to look forward to the actual what was being protested. And I think that the only issue which remains standing after that analysis is the issue of the bid opening. But the agency has explained that, and the opening of the gentleman's bid price occurred post-award. So there's nothing that would have affected the solicitation. There's not even a hint of malfeasance here. Nothing to suggest that it was anything more than what the agency has already put to the auditor, that it was an error. And I can fully understand when somebody might think, well, you know, they might take offense if their government says that something that was very dear to them and really caused them a lot of distress is de minimis. And I understand how you might have a negative reaction to that, but by saying it's de minimis, it's not to say that, you know, we dismiss the fervor or the zeal with which you believe you may have been wronged. It's to say that the error you complain of doesn't impact the actual award. So it's not, nobody, you know, again, nobody is here to dismiss your concern. At least we are not. You know, we respect that. But you know, this opening at post-award had no effect on the actual award itself. So that, again, you know, just to reiterate, there's no indication whatsoever that it affected the procurement at all. It was a mistake by a young lady down at the GSA. Again, you know, this, I spoke briefly about this kind of, you know, this concept of a burden. And if you, but you must assume agency regularity. That shifts the burden to the person alleging there is agency irregularity. And I don't think that that burden has been met. I suppose there was some indication that either myself or the governor's office and somehow assigned this contract. I can only say to that is I'm not sure what that accusation is. I don't know what that means. I don't know. I am aware of no circumstance under which you know, that has occurred. And you know, just briefly address that, I think that would be a performance issue as opposed to a procurement issue. I guess I'll just close by saying, you know, to the protester, again, you know, I respect the fact that, that this is an issue that is firmly held, but I don't think the procurement process has been impeached by the protest, and I would ask that based upon that that it be dismissed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Atta, any opposition?
I understand, or I think I heard everything that Mr. Fisher was saying. Just one point, and I'm sorry that I completely forgot to include it in my opening statement. I sent immediately an email to GSA asking for on what grounds was my proposal rated. I wanted to know that. I think I have that right to know. I was referred to page 10 of the instructional sheet, which tells you how many points each one's going to get. But to this day, September or October 3rd, I have not gotten a response as to on what, where did I fail? I wanted to know. And I think all others who may have submitted would have wanted to know. We accept, Mr. Fisher, we accept that we were not selected, given. Congratulations again. But GFA has to answer those questions. Where did I fail? So maybe in future I would know what to do. To this date, I have not received any. Thank you.
Mr. Kono, any response to Mr. Fisher's motion to dismiss?
No, and as a matter of fact, we will join. If we can do verbally, we'd like to join in his motion as well.
It's a bit too late for that, Mr. Kono. You could have done it on shortly thereafter, but anyway, so there's no opposition to this motion?
None.
By you saying joinder, I'm taking that as you agree with his motion.
Yes, we do.
Okay. And Mr. Fisher, any response or rebuttal?
Just addressing my response to Mr. Adda's comments. The last portion I don't think is before the public auditor. On what basis did he not prevail? I don't believe that, it's clearly hasn't been raised to the public auditor, and that doesn't sound like it's a protest so much as it is a request for debriefing. And I don't know what GSA policy is on debriefing. Thank you.
Okay, we will take Mr. Fisher's motion and Mr. Kono's motions to exclude and under advisement as well, and issue a decision in writing at a later date. Now, the next issue is the actual pre-hearing conference.
The hearing conference.
This is just a motion hearing. So the next is the pre-hearing conference. Before we get into that, Mr. Adda, is it still your desire to have a hearing on this matter? You have the option, just let me explain here, of bringing forth all your evidence, subpoenaing witnesses, having them here and questioning them, presenting evidence in support of any of your allegations or arguments, or you have a second option of having the public auditor decide your appeal based on the record in this matter, and each will result in a decision by the public auditor, assuming we do not grant the motion to dismiss by Mr. Fisher. Okay. So, is it still your desire to have a hearing?
Mr. Camacho and Ms. Brooks, Mr. Fisher, and Mr. Kono, I have thoroughly thought this over, and in the interest of the patients and the people of Guam, this issue has to be laid to rest. The patients need to continue the services to provide them and not be hampered because of any, there are no borders, but any other influences of other things. Therefore, I would like to submit to the chairs a waiver in trust and confidence that the decision that the hearing officer and the OPA will make, I trust and place my confidence in their judgment, and that whatever decision they come up with shall be, I will comply. I have copies here to provide to your, for your office, and to Mr. Fisher and Mr. Kodo.
You can provide those.
I have them ready.
Okay.
One is my copy. you're going to stamp it. I certainly hope that Mr. Fisher and Ms. Jacono doesn't take my protest as personal or my appeal. It's in the interest, again, as I said, of the patients and for future bidders. If this is to help GSA not to give any more room, and they should really be careful down there, because sometimes you never know whether the people in there that are in that office are the ones leaking out the information. That gives a lot of room for suspicion right from inside.
I resent that comment.
Okay, hang on. Mr. Adda, we're not here to argue with the other parties. Procedurally,
I would like to withdraw my statement.
Okay, thank you. I do have a question for you, and then Mr. Comey, your objection is duly noted for the record. I do have a question for you now. According to this written statement, my understanding, as I interpreted, your intent is that you waive your right to a hearing in this matter. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. So we will not schedule a hearing. I don't believe, Mr. Kono, that the agency requested a hearing. Is that correct?
We did not.
Okay. And I'm pretty sure Mr. Fisher didn't, but you are an interested party, correct?
Correct, and we did not request a hearing.
Okay, so this matter will then be decided based on the record filed. That would include all your pleadings and the procurement record in this matter. And we will issue a decision in writing. Are there any other issues that the parties feel we need to take up at this time? Mr. Adam, any other issues?
I think I've covered what I needed to cover.
Mr. Cullen?
No.
Mr. Fisher?
Nothing from us.
Then this hearing is adjourned. We are off the record at 2:04 p.m. Thank you. Thank you.